Father, I truly do thank you for tonight. I thank you for all those who came out to sit in your presence. And Father God, they say their hearts are wide open to receive whatever you have for them tonight. So I'm asking God to fill their hearts to overflowing. Change us totally, completely, Father, from yesterday. Thank you for keeping us safe in your hands. Let your ears be in tune to what you're saying tonight. And let us go forth as those people did in the video, Father God, ministering to the world instead of to each other. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I read an article today where God prophesied that, you know, the guy's talking about the seven mountains, and he said the first mountains is the families, that the families must be families before they can go and minister to any other person or even to the family of God. And I know God's been working on you men to be the priests in your household, and I know that he's trying to get you women to work beside your husbands and not on their head or under their feet, that we're supposed to be walking side by side ministering the gospel. And I hope that you're learning that lesson, because until you can get your household straight, God can't use you anyplace else. Amen. I mean, you're serving God with all your heart, and that's fine. And you're spreading love in your family, that's fine. And God can use you. But if you're just in the house and you're spreading strife and discord, and you know, you're not loving your family like you ought, then God can't use you. You can't make your family walk in love. You just can't do that. You can't make your family serve God. You just can't do that. But as long as you're doing your part, then God can use you. So don't go out there and say, well, she said because. I didn't say that. I said you have to be walking in love, and you have to be loving your family no matter what they're putting you through. All right? Now, how many besides me heard the news last night at 6 o'clock saying that if you have the vaccine, you don't need to wear a mask anywhere you go? You did hear that. Well, don't sourpuss it. Say, yes, I heard that. She twisted her mouth all up. Well, you're the first person to say that they heard that. Everybody else I talked to said, I didn't hear that. You heard that? Thank you, Sister Gray. Yeah, they said that right, didn't they? And so, but if you don't have the vaccine, you can still not wear a mask. But if you're going to go in a large crowd, please wear a mask. So there you go. And that guy Biden, he took his mask off with a great big smile and said, now we don't need them. Right? You know what he did? You didn't see that part. No, he took his off last night on the 6 o'clock news, yes. We're free. We're liberated. And they want to have the whole thing open up by July the 4th so we can celebrate our freedom. So if you've been walking in fear that you're going to get COVID, you can just now be at peace, because now they're saying we'll be all right without having a mask on. And I can't help how many people have died. I can't help where is it in India or someplace are having massive people die. I don't know what that's all about. Why don't you take your time out of your busy day and you ask God for yourself? Amen, because I don't know. He hasn't answered me. Let's just let God be God, and let's just be us, and let's just go ahead and follow God the way he tells us to follow him, and not be concerned about what everybody else is doing, all right? Tonight, we're going to talk about miracles in the living water, and I was telling Aaron tonight that before service that I noticed everybody's talking about the living waters now. They're talking about it or prophesying about it or something. And I said, but God told us first. So, you know, now I said to God, it's okay, God, everybody's caught up with us. Now we got to move on to something different. So I would like to be the signs, wonders, and miracles occurring. Just not talking about them, but actually occurring. All right, so that's our next step, right? Let's talk about the miracles in the living water. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Oreb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, 'I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn.' So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God had called to him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses,' and he said, 'Here I am.' Then God said, 'Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, God said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, 'I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up in the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaan, all the Ites, okay? And verse 9 says, 'Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I've also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.' But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?' So God said, 'I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain.'" We are the ones that God is calling to bring the lost into the house of God. And the way God's been prophesying in the Word, He is going to be with us. He's never going to leave us nor forsake us, because He's called us to do this great and powerful work. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus at all costs, at all times, and not allow the enemy any inroads. How many of you are sick and tired of hate? How many of you are so disgusted with it you just can't hardly stand yourself? You're trying to walk, well, you are walking in love. You are walking in love, but people around about you are walking in hate. I told God, this has really distressed me. He said, "What do you think it's doing to me?" He said, "My children should be love vessels, not vessels of hate and discord." It doesn't matter what other people are doing. You're going to have to keep your love walk moving, because the enemy surely is trying to steal the love walk again and again and again. And he'll keep trying to steal it until the day Jesus comes to take us on home. God said, "I am calling all of my children from the backside of the desert and bringing you forth and commissioning you to go forth and spread my gospel to the poor and the down and outer, just as I did Moses. I am no longer going to speak to you in the shadows, but I am bringing you right to the front lines where we can speak face to face, and you can hear very audibly what I am saying to you." Do you hear what he said? He wants to speak to you face to face, very audibly, so you can hear what he's saying to you. "There will no longer be questions as to what I have said or am saying, for you will hear my commissions with complete clarity. There are so few workers, but I have been working with you, and I have been training and commissioning you for quite some time now." And now, 2019 is when he said this, "You are prepared to go forth and complete the works I have started." This is a 2019 prophetic word that God, it just popped up on my screen, and God said, "I want you to tell this again." All right. I don't know where it came from. It was in my files, but I wasn't looking for it. "So there are so few workers, but I have been working with you, and I have been training and commissioning you for quite some time now. And now, 2019, you are prepared to go forth and complete the works I have started." If he was telling us that in 2019, he just told us that a couple Sundays ago, this is 21, right? What have we been doing between 2019 and 2021? You will have one divine destination after another, and my angelic host will go with you, and they will accomplish all that they have been instructed to accomplish. You see, I never sent my messengers out ill-equipped. What did he say the other night? Badly dressed, or however he pronounced it, said it. You already have all of heaven at your disposal, and all you have to do is draw on heaven's supply. Are you going to get this tonight? We evidently didn't get it in 2019. Children, I am the well of living waters, and in me and through me all things are possible. Let's look at my word for a moment and see what it tells you. Let's go to John 7:37. The last day of the festival came. It was the most important day. On that day, Jesus stood up and said loudly, "Whoever is thirsty, come to me and drink." He said it loudly, right? "If anyone believes in me, rivers of living water will flow out from their heart." That is what the scriptures say. In verse 39, Jesus was talking about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit had not yet been given to people because Jesus had not yet been raised to glory. But later, those who believed in Jesus would receive the Spirit. "All who believe in my Son Jesus shall surely receive the Holy Spirit. And they shall go forth with great signs, wonders, and miracles flowing out from them, just as my Son Jesus did." If you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you're not believing in the Holy Spirit, you cannot go out with signs, wonders, and miracles following. You know, you have to be walking in the Spirit. Every bit of religion has to be out of you totally and completely. I don't see how you walk being with religious spirit anyhow. I mean, walking with the Holy Spirit is life. Walking with religious spirits is death. You believe me, I know. All right? "All who believe in my Son Jesus shall surely receive the Holy Spirit, and they shall go forth with great signs, wonders, and miracles flowing out from them, just as my Son Jesus did." I just want to stop there and share. Brother Aaron was sharing with me when they went out Saturday. It was a Friday night, wasn't it? To the tent and ministered. He said, such a different atmosphere. It's because you're outside the four walls. You're literally out there working, doing the works that God's called you forth to do. And the Holy Spirit is there in all of His glory. And God just flows. And if any of you guys who've been used to be go out on the streets, you know that that does happen. And you see great and wonderful things happen out on the street, just like this video. God is calling us to go out on the street once again to minister to the people out on the streets, because they're not going to come into the house of God messed up the way they are. Somebody's going to have to go out there and start ministering to the people. All right? Now, I just told a lie. All right, God said He was going to send the people into the church, and we would minister to them. But God also wants us to go out into the streets and minister to people. There are some who won't come into the house of God unless somebody personally comes to them. What did Jesus do to the disciples? He sent them on their way. He told them to go and minister to people in the different towns, right? And Isaiah 12:3 says, "With joy you will draw water from the springs of salvation." And Isaiah 58:11 says, "The Lord will always lead you and satisfy your needs in dry lands. He will give strength to your bones. You will be like a garden that has plenty of water, like a spring that never goes dry." This is talking to us. This is what we're going to have. We don't have to worry about going out there and God's not going to meet us. If we go out there, God is going to meet us in marvelous and mysterious ways. In John 4:14 says, "But anyone who drinks the water I give will never be thirsty again. The water I give people will be like a spring flowing inside them. It will bring them eternal life." It is going to be inside of you. It's going to bring you eternal life. Now, God's been saying you have to return back to your first love. And God's been speaking that for quite a few years. And I read a word the other day where God said, you have to return back to your first love or I can't use you. And that means you have to drop all your dumb junk that you've gathered along the way and just have a mind totally engulfed with nothing but Jesus. You can't be worried about what's going on around about you. You can't be worried about what's ahead of you. You have to have your mind stayed on Christ and just do the works of Christ, right? God said you must be fully equipped to go forth. Salvation is a first step. And then as you receive salvation, the Holy Spirit dwells richly inside. My Holy Spirit will lead, guide, and direct you in all things. My son, Jesus told you, I would not leave you comfortless, and I did not. I sent you my Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to tell him myself, sort of. The other Sunday, there was a man and a woman here, and God was really moving, and the anointing was strong, and I was sitting back there listening for God, and somebody tapped me on the shoulder, and I looked up, and the man was standing there crying. And so we gave him a prophetic word, which was fine. Then behind him came a young lady, tapped me on the shoulder, looked up, and she was crying. And so we gave her a prophetic word. And God said, do you really know what was going on? He said, my spirit drew them to you, and you should have brought salvation to them instead of a word. Amen. Let that be a lesson to all of us. See, I thought they were already saved, but they were not saved. And I should have, with the tears streaming down the cheeks, getting out of their seat and coming to me with tears, that meant I was just touched by God and I need salvation. Are you listening to this? John 14, 16, and 17. Jesus speaking, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. This is Jesus getting ready to leave us. The helper is the spirit of truth. The people of the world cannot accept him because they don't see him or know him, but you know him. He lives with you and he will be in you. So the people in the world are not going to be filled with the Holy Spirit whenever you meet them. You're going to have to speak and have them receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In John 14, 26, Jesus said, but the helper will teach you everything. The Holy Spirit's going to teach you everything and cause you to remember all that I told you. This helper is the Holy Spirit that the Father will send in my name. So see, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to teach you. You need to be engrossed in the Holy Spirit. You need to be talking to the Holy Spirit. You need to be allowing the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct you. I'm sorry, you are not all that then some. You need the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit leading, guiding, and directing you, you're going to go in the wrong direction because you're not going to be, your feet's not going to be in the right path that God would have you go on. God said, you not only have my son Jesus' salvation, but you have my Holy Spirit of truth, and you have all the angelic host of heaven at your disposal, which are the angels. Couple all this with your love and faith, and you become a powerhouse that no enemy of darkness can stop. You will go forth and you will bring heaven to earth, and you will do the greater works than my son. You will minister to the multitudes at one time, and you will see the greatest harvest of souls ever seen at one time. God is still talking about that through the. I know a couple weeks ago, I think God spoke that through the daily word. God is still speaking the same thing today that he spoke in 2019. He has not changed his mind. He has not changed his course. He wants us to get out there and win the loss and quit feeling sorry for ourselves. Could always ask him, God, give me, give me, give me. What about me? Well, what about you? Forget about you and minister to other people. Children, this is another miracle. The million soul harvest that is already on the horizon. Just waiting for you to be totally determined that you are mine and the enemy has absolutely no place within or around you. Children, this is another miracle. The million soul harvest that is already on the horizon, that's the miracle. Just waiting for you to be totally determined that you are mine and the enemy has absolutely no place within or around you. I want to stop there and say this. Brother Allen, I watch him closely during the service because God's starting to move on him and to use him. And God told me he was going to start, he told him through me that he was going to start giving him a word about people, and he had to give it to the people, whether they believed or not, he had to give it. Now, God is checking his faith, and I hope he's doing that. And I watch him during the services, and as God's moving, I can tell who God wants to move on by watching what he's doing. And then God will say, go ahead, tell him to do it. And I tell him, you go ahead and do it. And he does. And God is doing great, mighty things to the people. What he's doing is training you up how to move in the spirit right here in this building. And then see, you get familiar and comfortable with that. Then he can send you out there, and then you'll do the same thing out there without even thinking about it. You'll just do it. Are you understanding this? And I think if you guys really look at each one of your lives, he has done that with each one of you. And you know, and so don't say, oh, well, he's using brother out. No, he's using all of us. But are we yielded? Are we all yielded to be listening to what God is telling us to do? Think about that. Winning the lost is a miracle, and that is what I am sending you for to accomplish. I do not want you to be so caught up in miracles that you miss the miracles as they are occurring. You know, one time, you know, God said, daughter, I'm not going to pull down fire from heaven for you. I'm not going to scream and shout at you to prove that I'm talking to you. It's going to be always a still, small voice. He said, you don't need signs, wonders, and miracles. You just need to walk by faith and know that I'm with you. Because I was wanting him, boy, to, you know, to throw down the lightning and do the thunder and everything else. And he said, I'm not going to do that for you. That's for the lost. And you're not lost. You see this? You already have all the giftings in operation. Just go forth and watch God show these lost people the signs, the wonders, and the miracles. And quit wanting God to show it to you. All right. Are we good with all that? Miracles will come in small, medium, and large packages. So do not overlook the smallest miracle, for they are all important in my eyes. Just maybe just someone you'd be able to get up and bend over and tie your shoe. That's a miracle maybe for some people, you know. And, you know, we grumble and groan because we can't tie our shoe. And I don't have that problem because I do use slip-ons. But, you know, and that's a miracle that God is doing for you to let you bend over and tie your shoes. But we overlook that. Sometimes just getting your eyes open in the morning is a miracle, right? And be able to crawl out of bed. Come on. Thank God for the small miracles. Just your wife not complaining to you, or your girlfriend not complaining to you is a miracle. Thank you, God, that she didn't complain today. That's a miracle, right? Forever faithful, is that where I meant? Forever faithful, you must remain. You cannot place your hand to the plow and look back. You must continue on the path I have placed before your feet, no matter what you may encounter. God just said that just the other day. He has not changed his wording or nothing. When I read this, I said, God, you're saying the same thing word for word. Luke 9:62 says, Jesus said, anyone who begins to plow a field but looks back is not prepared for God's kingdom. Anyone, just doesn't say Sister Nancy Willis. It says anyone who does it. God said, right now, the harvest is busting forth. I have said it before and it bears repeating. I have already prepared the hearts for the salvation message. And when you take it to them, they will immediately receive me as their Lord and Savior. If this were not so, I would not have spoken it. God has prepared that person's heart for you to speak to them, right? And they're receiving it. Say yes. Purple shirt. Say yes. Thank you. Amen. Come on. John 14:11. Believe, Jesus said, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or believe because of the miracles I have done. You know, why do we have to see a miracle to believe that God exists and that Jesus is his son? You know, come on. God said, when you are witnessing to the crowds, believe me for signs, wonders, and miracles. And then the lost and dying will believe and receive. Okay, so they're, all right, God, I'm sorry. I repent when I'm witnessing to you all, guys, and you don't look like you're receiving anything. And I get upset. I ask God to forgive me right now. Let's read this again. When you are witnessing to the crowds, you guys, believe me for signs, wonders, and miracles. Just you not falling asleep is a miracle, some services say. See that? Believe me for signs, wonders, and miracles, and then the lost and dying will believe and receive. I just thank you tonight, God, and everybody's wide awake. Now you'll receive, right? Yeah. God said, you were at one time one of the lost and dying. I sent someone to you to witness to you of my saving grace, and you received. Now go ye forth into the harvest field and freely give what you freely received. Didn't cost us anything to get saved. Didn't cost me anything to get born again. God just gave somebody my telephone number. Didn't know me from Adam, and I didn't know them from Adam. They called me and said, your name Barbara King? And I said, yeah. God gave me your phone number, and I'm inviting you to a prayer meeting tonight. So I became born again. She didn't know me, and I never met her. But God knows my name, He knows my number, and knows where I live. So freely she called me, and freely I said yes, and freely I received. You see this? Y'all really don't know what kind of God you serve most of the time. How many of you is God caused you to sort of look back at things that happened in your life and making you take a good look at it to see God was with me then just as He is with me today? Right. I like your hair. Do you really look nice with it like that? No, her. Yeah, the little wispy thing, white things you got going on there. That looks nice. It lightens your face though. See, she's listening. All right. God said, always remember that I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, and the great I am is with you to the end, just as I was with my son, Jesus. God said, never forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Never for one instant believe you can go this alone. In my word, they were sent out two by two, and they accomplished what I sent them to accomplish. You must do the very same thing. Go forth and win the lost. Come on. God sent them out two by two, but He's sending us out two by two, the Holy Spirit and you. Right? You might not have anybody else to go with you, but it's the Holy Spirit and you. He's always with you, and he's just a whisper away too. All right. Chapter 6, verse 7 says, Jesus called His 12 apostles together. He sent them out in groups of two and gave them power over evil spirits. This is what Jesus told them. Take nothing for your trip except a stick for walking. Take no bread, no bag, and no money. You can wear sandals, but don't take extra clothes. When you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. If any town refuses to accept you or refuses to listen to you, then leave that town and shake the dust off your feet as a warning to them. The apostles left and went to other places. They talked to the people and told them to change their hearts and lives. They forced many demons out of people and put olive oil on many who were sick and healed them. And that's Matthew 14, 1 and 12, and Luke 9, 7 through 9. But Jesus said, go and take nothing with you. He's saying people are going to take care of you because you're spreading my gospel. You won't have to worry about your clothes. People are going to wash them for you. You won't have to worry about money because people are going to feed you and they're going to take care of you. I used to get so sick and tired. I don't listen to a lot, very many pastors now. I get so sick and tired of pastors begging for money. Telling you, if you just send me in $1,000, your prayers will be answered. That's not true. God said, freely you receive, freely give, right? You send me another $1,000, you'll get healed. That's not true either. God, I don't read anywhere in my Bible where it says, if you pay somebody, I'll heal you. doesn't say that. So don't you do that either when you go forth. God will take care of you. He knows your needs. He will take care of you. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 3 says, after this, the Lord chose 72 more followers. This is after the 12, all right? He sent them out in groups of two. He sent them ahead of him into every town and place where he planned to go. What did he do? He sent them ahead of him into the towns he was going to go. And he said to them, there is such a big harvest of people to bring in, but there are only a few workers to help harvest them. God owns the harvest. Ask him to send more workers to help bring in his harvest. You can go now, but listen, I am sending you, and you will be like sheep among the wolves. If you go into a town and the people welcome you, eat the food they give you. Heal the sick people who live there and tell them God's kingdom is now very near you. You're supposed to go and have signs, wonders, and miracles follow you as people take care of you. God said, as you go, be determined to heal the sick. Be determined that whatever you place your hands to do will be accomplished through the shed blood of my son, Jesus. I am the master builder, and all things are accomplished through me. All things are accomplished through who? Christ, not you or your hands. He uses your vessel if you're walking with him and you're doing what he's calling forth to do, but you are not the one that's doing the healing. Don't ever forget that. It's always God. If the Holy Spirit isn't present, nothing's going to happen. But the Holy Spirit could be present and still nothing happen. God looks at your hearts. He looks at the hearts of men. And do you really believe him? Are you really walking in love and forgiveness? Are you really trusting God to do the things in your life that really need to be done? You know, only you can answer that question. Hebrews 3:4 says, for every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. God said, the foundation has already been laid, and you must build upon that foundation. If you build on any other foundation, it will crumble and fall. But my foundation is a sure foundation. Everything built upon it will stand. I'm telling you right now, guys, if you go out and work for God and build on the foundation of love and be walking in holiness and purity of heart, everything you do is going to stand. People are going to be saved. You're going to grow stronger in Christ. And God is always going to be with you wherever you go. And God said, as you go, I will manifest signs, wonders, and miracles for you. But see, you have to be doing your part first. And then as you go forth, then God is going to be with you. We can't get upset with one another. You know, that's dumb junk that we should have outgrown a long time ago. We have to be walking in love. Give people a chance to make their mistakes and go on. Amen. I told somebody today, I said, please don't get caught up in hate and bitterness. That's not who God made you to be. He caused you to be a vessel of love. Please stay that. Please become a vessel of love and stay that vessel. You get it caught up in the hate that's around about you, it'll kill you. Amen. Paul states in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. God, the master builder, has been erecting, furnishing, and preparing us to be ready to reflect his image as we go forth into the harvest field of society. Paul said, according to the grace of God which is given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Each one of you, as you go forth, you are supposed to be a wise master builder, and you are supposed to be laying the proper foundations. Then he said, and another builds on it. In other words, another will start a ministry because of what you did. But are you showing them Jesus? Are you showing them that's the way the foundation has to be built? And he's saying right now, some of you are too wise in your own eyes. God can't instruct you any further. You have to quit being wise in your own eyes and allow God to be your instructor. Or you're not going to go any further than what you are right now. And I don't think there's a one of us in here tonight that wants to stay where we're at right now. I think we want to go on into that glorious realm that God is taking us into so that other souls can be lost. I mean, can be saved and not be lost any longer. You know, do you really understand the far-reaching effect of your walk with God? Do you really understand how many souls you're going to touch? You know, this one man died, and he told God, I only saved one soul. While he was dying, he told somebody else, I only saved one soul. And God spoke to the person he's speaking to and said, that's the only soul I had assigned to you. God told us each one of us have a million souls assigned to us that we need to bring into the harvest. Are you going to bring them in? It's going to take a lot of dedication to the Father. And you're going to have to really be walking in the love walk that God's called you to walk in to bring in those lost souls. I want you to understand one thing. I don't care what you're going through. God always has somebody else covering your back. He always has somebody else praying for you. God told me a couple years ago, daughter, I have people overseas praying for you. I've told them their name and I've given them your face. That blew my mind. But we also need to understand we have people right here who love us and who are praying for us. And when they see you going down, they don't kick you. They pray and they lift you back up again. Are you able to do that? Are you able to see when somebody's down, are you going to kick them or are you going to pray for them and bring them back up again? Are you going to show them love and, you know, and stretch out your hand to them and say, come on, we can make this together? Ask yourself this, can you do that? God said, no more delays. The thrust is forward and you have been given the tools to harvest. My word tells you that out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And John 7:38 says, if anyone believes in me, rivers of living water will flow out from their heart. That is what the scripture says. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. We read that in the beginning, but we're reading it at the end too. In John 6:35, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. It says you'll never thirst or hunger. Why are you worrying about the famine? Some of us could stand a famine. Amen. But God told us, he said, during all this mess, I'm going to take care of you. You will want for nothing. But how many of you believe that? How many of you truly believe that? God says, now as you go forth, cause the living waters to flow out of the new converts, that they too will have the power to overcome all obstacles the enemy places before them. How do I do that? Lay hands on them and have them receive the Holy Spirit. Now I want to read your prophetic word God gave me on June 22nd, 2019. Come to the living waters this day and drink deeply, and you will never thirst again. I am calling all my children to come to the waters today and drink in the supernatural powers from on high that will carry them through the next leg of their journey with me and the heavenly host. No place will you find peace and rest like you will find at the wells of living waters. Then God spoke again and said, I have given my children this weapon of warfare, and all of this day most have not used this weapon. So I am calling and I'm expecting a great response from all those who know and love me. And John 4:10 said, Jesus answered, you don't know what God can give you and you don't know who I am. You don't know what God can give you, and you don't know who I am, the one who asked you for a drink. If you knew, you would have asked me, and I would have given you living waters. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But anyone who drinks the water I give will never be thirsty again. The waters I give people will be like a spring flowing inside them. It will bring them eternal life. When you really became born again, did you really become born again? Did you really receive the streams of living water? Did you really let those waters come gushing in and wash all the junk out of you? Or did you just say you became born again? See, we have to do this thing and do it properly. If you're really born again, then those wells of living water are inside of you. They're not only gushing out of you, but they're gushing all through the inside of you. And they are loosening and taking out of you every dark thing that's not of God. God said he wants you to loose all of your expectations. Just loose them out of your mind. Just get rid of them. And he said, I just want you to come to me with a clean heart, a clean mind. And allow me to be the one to lead, guide, and direct you in this new dispensation that you are in. I am no longer calling you to walk along the riverbank. I'm calling you to get in the waters that are too deep to swim in. And I'm calling you not to look around about you. But I'm calling you just to go forth in my might and in my power and accomplish all that I have called you to accomplish in this lifetime. God said many are going to go along the wayside yet, but don't you be one of those. Don't you be one of those who stay in the slums and in the slum of discouragement and saying you can't make it, because if you couldn't make it, I would have told you so a long time ago. I am tugging at your heartstrings in a different way tonight. I am tugging at the heart deeper than I've ever tugged at it before. I am trying to get deeper into your heart so that the enemy no longer has a sway upon your mind, your will, or your emotions. I'm asking you to come deeper into the water tonight so that I can truly send you forth. And whenever you encounter, will not stop you ever again, because you know that I have sent you out among the wolves. But I will also keep you while you're out there. That's what the altar's open for tonight. God wants to go deeper into your heart than he's ever gone before. And God's also saying, you really don't know my compassion to its fullness. If you did, you would be more compassionate to others. You really don't know what I'm going to do with you. You don't even have an inkling of what I'm going to do with you, or you wouldn't be wondering what I'm going to be doing with you. You would be at peace in your walk with me, and you would just flow along with the waters and allow me to do whatever I want to do. So the altar's open.